I'd like to share something with you that I've been thinking of for quite some time. In Psalms chapter 42, verse 1, it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" And he goes on in that, but I want to turn to Psalm 63, somewhat the same prayer. Psalm 63 and 1. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." There are times in our experiences that we go through seasons just like this. And I've seen it in individuals, I've seen it in families, I've seen it in congregations. And you can call it a valley, you could call it a desert, or a wilderness. All of those terms are used in the scriptures. And when you look at the journeys of the children of Israel, there were times that they went through just like this after God had delivered them. I find the first time was there, Exodus chapter 14. The Lord had brought them in a mighty way out of Egypt. And he brought them into a camp between the mountains and the sea. And God told Moses in verse 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp." And he told them where to camp. And then he told them what Pharaoh would say about it. He said, "Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel," verse 3, "They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." So many times when we get into these type of places in our experience, this is what the enemy will say to us and will say about us. Aha! The wilderness has shut them in. And that's many times what we feel. We feel shut in. We feel entangled. We feel like all we can see is this dry and thirsty land where no water is. And we feel like that we can't find God. We don't know what he's doing. We can't seem to hear him speak to us. We long to feel his presence, as he wrote there in Psalm 42. Where we thirst after him, we wonder when we're going to be in his presence again. We long to see his power and his glory, as we've seen in the past. But we're in this time. We're in this part of our journey where we don't see that. And we feel like that the desert has shut us in. Another place over in Isaiah, though, gives us some promises. Well, before I go to that, I would like to just speak a little bit about reasons why we may be in that time. The Israelites, as I mentioned already, they were in this time where God had delivered them. And that's one of the reasons that I have found in my experience and in looking at the Word and in also in physical things that the Lord has created here on earth. I was reading about some of the deserts, and I remember reading about deserts when I was in school. I was particularly interested in the deserts that were in the north, in the way up in the Siberian mountains. In between the mountains, there are great deserts that are dry, and they're also some of the coldest spots on earth. You would think about a desert as being sandy and dusty and hot. Well, those cold deserts are just as barren. You think, oh, they would have snow and all. Well, there are deserts. The Gobi Desert between the Himalayas, there's some of those places that are so dry and so barren. That's where they, years ago, I don't know if they do that now, but years ago, they would banish their prisoners to the Siberian deserts. And they would be up there and it would be cold and it would be dry and it would be barren. Down in South America, below the equator, in the country of Chile, there are mountains and there's the sea. Let me see if I can draw this. Let's see if you were looking down on it from the top and you would have the coast. Can do this or not. You would have the coast there, and then you would have this is the ocean over here, and then you would have this mountain range, and the clouds would form over this ocean area right here, and the water would be evaporated and go up into the clouds, form the clouds. And as the winds move them this way, they would dump their water out over these mountains. I'm sorry, I'm not doing this very good.
Hold your pen so that the felt is down, and it'll help the ink to run down into it.
It's not going to happen. Anyway, on this side of the mountains, as they go up and form the peaks, and then the peaks form the valleys, but all along this, you can see these aerial views of the mountains. It's all wooded and lush, the vegetation. Here's the coast. Here's the mountains coming up like this. And as these clouds form over this area, they dump their water right here on this side. And they dump all their water there, and they keep on going. And on this side of the mountains, and on this valley right here, it's desert. That's called a rain shadow. And most of the deserts on the earth are in what we call a rain shadow, where that happens, that phenomena happens, where the clouds dump their water on one side of the mountain range and they reach the ridge and come over and the other side. You can see the aerial view of those mountains and those deserts. This is just like the one down in Chile, this desert. I think it's called, Atacama is the word that comes to my mind, but maybe you could look that up. Even, we have that in the California coastal ranges. You have those mountains and the water and all along the coast of Oregon and California. You have that climate that is moist, and you have a mild climate, and then between those mountain ranges, between the coastal ranges and the Sierra Nevadas, there in California, is the hottest desert, one of the hottest deserts in the world. That's the Death Valley. It's also very depressed there. That's where some of the lowest points on our continent are in Death Valley. And it's very hot and it's very depressed. But some of these things really spoke to my heart as I considered that in the natural, God gives us a kind of a picture of what happens in the spiritual. When you go through a lot of blessings, you feel the blessings of the Lord, and your journey is on this side of the mountains, and you've been there at the coast, and this is all lush and vegetated there. And as you cross the peak and you go down the other side, you begin to experience some dry times. You're in a rain shadow. And I find that that's a lot of times what happens in our lives, is that we're in the backside of blessings. I'll just call it that. The backside of blessings many times is a period of waste and wilderness. Why do you think that happens in our lives? Why do you think that God, it looks like that God appears to withdraw his blessings when he's just delivered and he's just blessed us very richly, and then we feel this nothing? What is that? Is it because I've done something? Many times we think it's because we've done something. And true, there are times in our lives where God has seen something in our lives that we have walked away from him in an area, and he does have to withdraw his presence, and he does allow us to go through a desert time because of us walking away from him, but not always. With the Israelites, many times it was that way, but not always. They went through a wilderness because of their unbelief, and they were in that, and that was one of the deepest and the driest of that area where they were. And I want to look at that just for a minute, Numbers chapter 21. That time in their walk in the wilderness was a very low time for them. And I also found some analogy in this in our spiritual life. And I want to get this. Chapter 21 of Numbers. They got through destroying some of the Canaanite cities. They had some deliverance there from the Lord. And then it says they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So they come into this in this wilderness. They've come after blessings and after deliverances. The people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. In this time, this dark time, when they were in this place, it said, "We don't have any bread and we don't have any water." Right there, they murmured and they complained. And they also were tempting the Lord. I think back in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, he says for us not to tempt the Lord as they did in the wilderness, or murmur, because as some of them also murmured. So, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. When we get in these places and we tempt the Lord and say, "Is the Lord with us or not?" and we murmur against the Lord, it's in a time like this that the enemy can come with bitterness and resentment. And we begin to question the Lord and doubt the Lord. And when we do that, we can get bit by serpents. And to me, that serpent, in my mind, that serpent, in our experience, is the serpent of unbelief. where he comes and he begins to gnaw away at us. He begins to bite us. We begin to die spiritually. If we're in a valley and we begin to murmur like that, that can come into our lives. We can become skeptical. We can begin to doubt the Lord. But I was meditating on that, and the Lord brought to my mind how that he had an answer for that. He told him what to do. If you'll take this serpent and put it up on the pole, when they look at it, what would happen to them? They would live. They would come out of their sickness, whatever had happened with the serpent's bite. And Jesus, in chapter 3 of John, he said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's what came to my mind. When you're in the wilderness and you can't find God and you can't sense God and you have a temptation to doubt God's love for you, the answer for that is to look at Jesus crucified, because that is the ultimate proof of God's love for us, is that he was lifted up on the cross in our stead and died for us. We should never doubt the love of God for us, because he died for us. He gave his life for us. You can trust the man who died for you. You don't ever have to doubt his love for you and his care for you. This is the antidote for the belief that we get stung by when we're in the wilderness and we murmur. He's still there as a sacrifice for us and an emblem of his love for us. Well, that has encouraged me greatly. I can always trust in the love of the Lord. I never have to doubt, does he love me or not? I'm in a place where there's no water. I'm in a place where there's no food. I don't feel the Lord. I don't understand why he's bringing me in through these places. I just don't get this. But he said, if you'll lift that up. And Jesus said, the Son of Man would be lifted up so that those in the wilderness can look up to him and live. Now I want to get those promises in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, verse 19. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I find that if we will do this, if we will look up to the Lord and believe in his love for us when we're in these times of wilderness, that the Lord will do a new thing for us. He will once again visit us. And it'll be brand new. It'll be something that we haven't yet learned. Because the wilderness is the place where we learn. The wilderness is the place where we learn how to lift him up and how to look at his love in a new way. The wilderness is a place where we wait upon him. We learn to wait upon him. And he said, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You remember this promise this morning, if you're in a place that you think, okay, this is it. This is the way that my life is going to be. It looks like it's been so long and I've not felt anything and I've not sensed anything and I've not heard anything. And it just seems like there's a ceiling there for my prayers and my tears. He promised, I will make a way in the wilderness and I will make rivers in the desert. Look here in next chapter, chapter 44. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jerusalem, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. So the Lord has given us these promises about the desert. Now look at this one in 35. This is speaking mostly about people who are in the deserts of sin, and that's another place altogether. You know, when they were in Egypt, they were in a desert. People that are in the desert of sin, that's the people that the song was written about when it says, "Is thy life bereft of comfort and thy soul a cheerless spot? Say not Christ is in thy desert, for we can believe it not." You talk about desert. The Lord leads us through these rain shadow deserts, but He's leading us through them. But you talk about desert. Real desert is when the Lord's not there, when the life has never seen the word and the life of the Lord, and people are without God and alienated from the presence of God by sin and by wickedness. That's a desert now. I remember one time instructing someone who said they didn't feel the Lord and they didn't feel the joy. And I said, you know what? You really don't know what the sorrows of sin are. You really don't know what it's like to be out there without God. You feel that way. You feel like there's nothing. But there's really nothing whenever you have the sorrows of sin in your life. That's really a desert. Sometimes we as saints' children, we don't know what it's like to suffer in those places. We don't know the sorrows of sin at all. And we tend to feel like, oh, this, you know, I just don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. It's just, that's nothing compared to the life of sin. But he says here, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. Lebanon was the mountain. It was the desert that was on the rain shadow of Lebanon that the Israelites journeyed through. And it was on Lebanon was the growth, the luxurious growth of cedars and those trees that were in ancient times spoken of as being so marvelous and so beautiful. He said, I'll give that kind of growth, the glory of Lebanon, I'll give that to your desert, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. The valley that Jerusalem and all of those, that area there was the fertile side of this mountain. This is where Jerusalem and all that was located, right here. The other side was the desert. But this was the place that he was talking about, Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the feeble, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. We could go on. The end of it says, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is really fulfilled in Christ and in His kingdom, in salvation. It's comparing the life of sin to a great desert that's barren and dry. That's where we all were when we were in sin. And whenever we come to the Lord, He said, I'll give you joy and gladness. But we also go through these experiences where we need to once again look to the Lord to send us a river and springs of water. Now I want to go to Song of Solomon. I'm sorry, I'm not finding the one that I'm looking for. Okay, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, the last chapter, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? This is the real reason for our wildernesses and for our deserts. The Lord has ways of teaching us to lean and depend upon Him. And this is what we learn in the wilderness. This is what happens to us. We learn how to lean on our beloved. This is what happens whenever we come out of the wilderness. We're found leaning upon Him. We're closer than before. We've learned to trust Him. We've learned to draw strength from Him. We've learned to believe in Him when there are no feelings. We've learned to obey Him and look at Him and consider Him and seek Him. This is the purpose for our wilderness. This has been the purpose for the wildernesses in my life. There have been many. Sometimes they had to do with seasons in my life, my age, my time of childbearing, diseases and physical things can cause these things. My counsel would be if a person seems to be in a illness or physical condition, many times it can cause emotional dryness and desert-like conditions that affect us, and they seem to affect us spiritually. And I understand those things. I realize that's the way that it is. And we need to understand that too and not just think, oh, I've done something wrong. Why am I feeling so bad like this? Why don't I have any feelings? There are times when it's purely physical and it's something going on in our body, long illness, childbirth, changes in our lives, bring these kinds of emotional dryness. I recognize that. And this morning, the Lord's in those things too. We can learn to lean on Him during those times too. Even whenever it's a physical illness or a physical change in us, we can learn to lean on the Lord. During a time in this year that the Lord, that I have been through this, the Lord gave me a song, and I'm going to sing it for you. It may not be as good as if it had an accompaniment or other singers, but I want you to get the words, because I feel like that there are a lot of people that go through this. Daddy. Maybe all you see now is a desert with seemingly no way through. Hope appears to be gone and you are alone. You feel there's no future for you. You cry and the sky is silent. You pray and no answer is heard. You walk on even though there seems no reason to go. And you wait for the voice of His word. For this is the time you trust. This is the time you never give up. Though He seems silent, though He seems gone, you know His promise. You'll not be alone. This is the time, find the joy. This is the time, take His peace. For in this desert, He will make a road. He will cause your darkness to cease. He will be the rock where you can hide, where you can stand. He will cause a river to flood your desert land. So you're learning how to trust Him. You're learning how to lean. You've learned that you really can't face trials alone without Him standing there in between. That's what the desert taught you. The lonely days proved His grace. The wilderness days taught you how to praise when you don't feel His loving embrace. For this is the time you trust. This is the time you never give up. Though He seems silent, though He seems gone, you know His promise. You'll not be alone. This is the time, find the joy. This is the time, take His peace. For in this desert, He will make a road. He will cause your darkness to cease. He will be your rock where you can hide, where you can stand. He will cause a river to flood your desert land.
Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So hold on to hope, whatever your desert might be.